today is Friday, April the 1st, and you're listening to the Grains Matter Chatter podcast presented by North Shore Grains. Happy April Fools, everyone. I'm your host, Dolores Foster, and I'm joined today by my co-host, Mr. Jeffrey Guy.
Mr. Serious himself right here. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everybody. No April Fool's joke in these markets.
No, I guess I wish that the soybean price was an April Fool's joke, but I guess it's not.
Yeah, what's happened to soybeans this week, we wish that was an April Fool's. Old crop soybeans are down $50 this week. $50. For people, anybody holding on to old crop soybeans, out the window went $50 a ton.
So, Jeff, why? What happened?
Lots of things. Market movers. Russia and the Ukraine. What happened in Russia and the Ukraine? You know, they fight. Well, they just keep fighting, but they pretend they're going to hold hands and have a peace treaty, but nothing really happens. And then it's some risk comes off the table. You know, we look at the world oil market. The OPEC Plus produced a little more. The big thing in the oil market this week was the U.S. has increased taking 1 million barrels a day from now until eternity out of their oil reserves. So getting more oil, so that hurts soybean oil prices.
I think probably the big one was our USDA report. Was that yesterday, Jeffrey?
Yeah, the USDA planting report. Corn acres were down under 90 million acres, and they were expected north of 90 million. Soybean acres came in at like 91.2 million acres, and they were expected less than 90 million acres. So the USDA definitely surprised people. Prices were down early in the week, and then that USDA report just kept soybeans going down. Corn has rallied some from it. So just quickly on the...
So did I just make sure that I got this right? You just said that soybean acres is predicted to be higher than the corn
acres. Higher than corn acres.
How often does that happen?
Not very often, as in never. So like these are record soybean acres for projected soybean acres for the U.S. Record soybean acres projected for the U.S. That has to be said twice. So that's, you know, that's a big negative for the soybean market. The corn market, this report was bullish for it. It should support prices and it should keep bringing prices somewhat down on the soybeans. So prices are trending down. I said old crop soybeans were down $50, new crop $35. Quote to next year, they were down 15. Corn prices were down about $5 across the board. Wheat prices took another tumble this week. Spring wheat was down $10, $15 this year, next year. And hard red winter was down $33 for this harvest.
So if the report was pretty bullish for corn, why is the corn price down?
Corn price was down earlier in the week, and it just rallied at the end of the week.
Okay.
So it was down earlier in the week when they were talking that Russia and Ukraine might have a peace treaty, but they didn't.
Yep. And once again, we prove another week, lots of variables in the market, lots of things going on affecting our prices.
Continued sure. volatility is what I have written down. Continued volatility. But so right now, the trend in corn is steady to up. Down in soybeans, down in wheat. However long you want to say that trend is, but wheat's been down a few weeks. Soybeans are starting to pull back big hard this week, and corn is staying steady. So I think it just turns us right into our guest this week.
That's right. We're cutting our market talk a little bit short because we have a special guest here in the studio this week. Mr. Claire Kindlin with McEwen Agri-Services. Claire is a local agronomist and in our area here, and I know he's known by many, so thank you very much for joining us, Claire.
And sorry, Claire, you're going to tell us why corn is still king, even with...
Corn will always be king. You should know that by now. Yeah, corn is king, and you mentioned about the volatility in the market. That's what we've been seeing in the crop input market. Probably for the last 8 months. I've been doing this for over 35 years now, and tell you the last 8 months, and I would say the last 6 weeks have been pretty challenging on the sector. and on the industry. You know, it's absolutely horrible what's going on in Ukraine with Russia and the devastation that's happening over there, but also the impact that it's having on us here as well.
Have you ever experienced anything like this before, Claire?
No, it's nothing like this before in the market volatility that we're seeing. Like, if we look at nitrogen prices from a year ago today, they've more than tripled in pricing. And good or bad of it, we rely on Russia for, well, that area, you know, the Black Sea region over there, for about 80% of our nitrogen needs and quite a bit of our phosphate needs as well. And we've even got potash from over there certain years. So it's a little bit of a price we are paying now for being so heavily leveraged on that site and that area. So it's been a shock to the system. There's lots of discussion about the tariffs and stuff. The really positive news is that there is product available. We'll be able to get a product in. And in fact, I'm getting updates today on product becoming available. It's available, but the price of it just keeps going up and up and up. So
that's good news, because there's a lot of noise out there in the marketplace. I know the coffee shops are full and everyone's chatting. What are we going to do? Are we going to get the fertilizer? What's going to happen? So at least it's available, even though it's probably going to come at a pretty probably a pretty penny.
You're going to have to write the check. Yeah. At the end of the day, it's the same as us. You know, we can get the product, but we're going to have to write the check for it. So, and it's a big check. Like, I mean, if you look at prices last year to this year, you know, January, we're saying double your fertilizer bill on nitrogen. And now we're saying you're probably going to have to triple it. So the problem with the fertilizer market too, it's not like your grain market. It's not a fluid market. Mm-hmm. It's not like I don't get a daily update of what the nitrogen price is doing. We may get an update when the boats are coming in and all that kind of stuff. So it's not really as fluid. There's very few sellers in the fertilizer market as well on top of that. But I will tell you, they've done a really good job to get the resources into it. They are unloading some boats from Russian area that was loaded and purchased before, but they are subject to the tariffs right now. So that's a 35% tariff on that nutrient coming across. So
I'm Joe Farmer. You did a lot of talking. Am I going to get my fertilizer for growing my corn crop this year?
Yeah, there shouldn't be a problem to get the fertilizer this year.
Because we have
as I say, you got to write the check.
Yeah, we have had farmers tell us that they were on the waiting list with a few different suppliers
for fertilizer. And that's a very fair comment, Jeff. There is a waiting list. And I think that waiting list is, we just need some time in the industry to sort some things out. So if you look at liquid nitrogen, it's a gong show with liquid nitrogen. It is very, very expensive, and it's even harder to come from. But there is some domestic 28 that we can utilize that's not underneath of the tariffs or sanctions, but it's limited. So, you know, the day of, it's no different than going to the grocery store today and products being sold out. It's the same thing that's happening in the crop input business. No different than trying to buy the right gasket or pick up the right part for your piece of equipment. It might be a few days before you get it. And the famous ones, I can order it, but I don't know when I'm getting it. I don't know how much it's going to cost. So, but the answer to the question, there is product available. And, you know, if your local, your traditional supplier hasn't got it, it's a business decision on their part.
Yeah.
So if there's fertilizer around, which is great news, high prices aren't great news. What about
the commodity prices are good to offset it, right? But it's a bugger to cash flow. Like, I mean, it's not going to be easy cash flow. So if you can cash flow corn, corn is still king if you can cash flow it.
The budgets still show corn is king.
Yeah.
And, you know, here, what did I just say earlier about markets? You know, corn closed this year, or for this harvest, at 325 this week. 325 for a ton of corn this fall. That's big numbers. You know, most producers have never seen that.
I bet you you've bought a lot more corn with a one in front of it than you ever have with a three
with or a
two
in it. Yeah. So the fertilizer's there. It's expensive. What about the crop protection supply side of your business?
Yeah, there's product available. You might not get your first choice of product. Glyphosate is the big one. Like, glyphosate has... Well, it's more than tripled in price, and it's been a really confusing marketplace with glyphosate. Glyphosate has become a loss leader, And there's lots of, it's an easy product to use. It's a very easy product to abuse as well. And that abusing of that product has created the resistance and stuff. And there's a whole generation of crop advisors that don't know how to control stuff without glyphosate. And so we're gonna have to work through that. But there's lots of alternative products. So if you don't have glyphosate, can you do this? Can you do that? And the answer is yes. My motto, and it has been for a couple of years, but really so much more this spring, how do I save a place pass of glyphosate? Because we really need to look at it as resistant management and other opportunities other than just spraying the crop with glyphosate. You know, I do not know one farmer that's happy that I had to spray my soybeans last year three times with glyphosate. So last year that glyphosate cost $9. This year it's $20. So instead of investing the $60 on a three-pass system, invest that $20, $25 up front on a good residual program and then come back and clean it up with a fungicide to really protect that yield. With these high input prices, very good commodity prices, the best way I can make our farmers money is more yield. So how do I get more yield? And that's at the end of the day, yield always pays the bills.
No, that sounds great. You know, you just said to prices up to $20 there. Let's go back when Roundup came out. Is that in the 70s, late 70s?
Yeah, that's before my time, Jeff. I'm not quite as old as you.
I seem to remember on the farm, and wasn't it originally priced upwards of $30 to $40?
Oh, yeah, like it was $40.
$40 a liter.
Yeah.
That not a lot of farmers, it wasn't very widely used. It was the magic spray if you wanted to use it, but $40 a liter way back when.
And there's been a lot of really awesome technology that has come from glyphosate and glyphosate use and stuff. And we just need to utilize the tool better. Like at the end of the day, it's still a great product. I just think we need to be smarter with it. And I've been working with the growers that we work with for the last few years is, you know, it was always cheap to throw it in. And I don't believe that anything's cheap. So you need to make sure you're using it properly, right?
For sure. Yeah. Those numbers add up real quick.
They do.
And especially this year.
And there's consequences of just doing it simple. Simple isn't right. Fast is not always right either. So spend a little bit extra time. And I will say for my staff, as well as most people in there, the mental health aspect of agriculture today is very high. Mm-hmm. And I know talking to my sales reps, they feel very beaten up, and it's not, there's nothing we can do about it. We're just trying to help farmers produce the best crops.
So. For sure. It's not your guys' fault that this is happening, right? These are all external factors, and we all kind of have to learn how to navigate through them now.
And the game is changing time. Like what works, you know, the emails, I hate Friday afternoons and Monday mornings because that's when the supply update comes through.
Yeah.
So you go, okay, well, I had this bought and paid for. Well, guess what? Now it's not.
Yeah.
And that happened with nitrogen. That's happened with phosphates. That's happened with glyphosates. That's happened with everything.
Yeah.
So we're doing the best we can, and the communication with your ag retailer is really there to help. Some of the things that we can minimize the impact of the added cost of nitrogen to is some of these nitrogen stabilizers, and working with them and utilizing them into your plans as well. Don't change a whole bunch of stuff. Don't try to outguess the game. Work what worked well in the past. We're coming off of record crop yields last year. Let's make sure we continue to do that and drive on that.
So some of the, to minimize nitrogen, the in-season nitrogen test requirements, I was trying to think what they were.
They're a good tool. They're a great tool to indicate. It tells us what's happening in the nitrogen cycle and doing that. What I don't want guys to start thinking, well, we got to put it all up front because we're not going to have it in the second pass. Don't do that. If you're on a highly leaching soil or high clay soil content and you put all your nitrogen up front and we get a 6-inch rain on it, you're going to lose some of that nitrogen. It doesn't matter what you do. So by having that split app, you can adjust it. A lot of our good ground, our good loamy soil, there's not a lot of benefit from splitting it. There always could be some. I'll let you know in July if we should have split our nitrogen or not. So it's just one of those things. It's weather dependent. Nitrogen is one of those. So when you look at nitrogen, nitrogen is getting the big focus talk point. But because of phosphates and potassium, they're also another huge talking point. And, you know, last fall, because of the prices of them, everybody's saying we're going to cut back on those uses. And, you know, because of their replacement, it has gone nothing but straight up. Potash and phosphate is not being talked about a whole bunch because everybody's worried about nitrogen. Nitrogen's the pretty girl in the fertilizer industry, but it's actually P and K has also increased a lot in price and availability on those. Phosphates, globally, because of the environmental restrictions on getting phosphates out of the ground, it's going to be a challenge moving ahead for phosphates. Like if you look at some of the liquid phosphate starters and stuff, they're up over a dollar a liter since August. So it's a huge, huge change in that.
I did read something this week, though, that said, if you're going to cut back on fertilizer, do not do it with your starter. We're talking about corn.
Well, if you're cutting back, it means you were over-applying before. And I don't get that. I don't get the necessity of over-applying. Because we are in such a heavy livestock industry, too, or area, let's maximize the use of that manure. That manure right now on corn ground is between $85 and $100 an acre value on that stuff. So let's make sure we utilize it the best that we can going into spring. And do the agronomics right. Plant right, plant slow, get the weeds out of the field, spray a fungicide when required. Just do the good agronomy right, and hopefully we'll get the good weather to deliver on a crop.
So one of the things you did say was to increase yield pace, foliar fertilizer, right?
It's part of a nutrient package on it. You cannot replace the macros with the foliar, though. Like trying to replace nitrogen, P and K with a foliar, even sulfur with a foliar is pretty tough. Mag and calcium is arguably. The foliars are an add-on or a benefit that way. Timing on them is really important. But to think, I'm going to put less dry on and replace it with a foliar, you're not going to be able to do it. But what you can do with those foliars, it is enhance the yield. So if I look at on soybeans, what I want to do with soybeans is I want to keep pods and I want to make the beans bigger. At the end of the day, that's what I need out of soybeans. And out of corn, I want to increase kernel weight and increase number of kernel sets. And foliars can help you do that. But there's a lot you need to do right before the foliars come into play.
Is there any supply chain issues with foliar?
No, we're in pretty good shape on those. They're just more expensive. The answer is yes, Doris, there is some supply concerns, but there's always alternatives.
Okay.
Like, that's the nice thing about it. Like, I mean, when you're filling up your tractor, you can only put diesel in it, right? So you got to find diesel. When it comes to foliars, I just want MP and K and micros. I can collect those from lots of different sources. It's still MP and K, but I might have five or six supply chain from it. Same as on dry fertilizer. There's really only three people that sell dry fertilizer in Eastern Canada. Like, there's not a lot of opportunity to buy dry fertilizer. Solio is one of the bigger ones. And then there's a group of independents that come in after that. But, I mean, that's, you know, for us, we're 100% independent. We're owned by Mr. McEwen. And it's great because it gives us flexibility that we can buy from multiple people when the opportunity presents itself.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think going forward here, Claire, really appreciate you here today. We'll make sure to get you back and...
I think this is called our pre-plant talk. And Claire has graciously agreed to come back for our customer day. As of right now, fingers crossed, it is in person.
It is. It will be.
Ready. Wednesday, June the 29th.
Ready to get back up on the stage there, Claire?
Yeah, anytime. It's we're moving ahead and things are coming well together. Just everybody, please have patience with each other this spring.
Yeah.
It is... we're going to be scraping the bins to make sure we got everybody covered. We're going to, you know, patience is going to be really necessary, and don't always shoot the messengers.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we look forward to that customer day, date to be confirmed.
Thanks, guys.
And thanks very much, Claire, for joining us, and hope everyone has a great weekend.
Sounds great to me. Thanks again, Claire. Talk to everybody next week.